NappyAfro.com.
What color are these people?
They are niggas.
Oh, shit.
You're now tuned into the dopest podcast for the dopest network on the internet. This is the Frocast episode 268 for NappyAfro.com. I'm your man Saul Wright, a.k.a. the Black Alex B. Keaton, a.k.a. Shupak Shakur, a.k.a. Jack Swagless. And I'm sitting in with the homie King Germ. Say what's up to the people, bro.
What's going on, people? It's your boy King Germ, a.k.a. the People's Champ, a.k.a. my phone is ringing during the motherfucking Frocast, a.k.a. I just sent that nigga to fucking voicemail, a.k.a. the most electrifying motherfucking podcast today, a.k.a. the next door neighbor of Danny Tanner, a.k.a. the illegitimate son of Carl Weathers, a.k.a. LeBron Flames, a.k.a. the king of the lames, a.k.a. we still here, goddammit. We squatting in this bitch.
a.k.a. push broom mouth.
Oh, there you go again. Push broom mouth.
Hey, man, this has been a crazy week. It was off last week. We come back and the country's melting. I don't know how else to say that. What do they call it? Unite the Right?
Unite the Right, the rally they was having.
Which is the alt-right. It's the KKK rally.
Yeah, but it's KKK 2.0.
Yeah, you know, they be giving them all these names, the alt-right and the white supremacy. It's fucking KKK.
Dr. Umar and them got like something they call alt black or some shit like that?
I can't keep up with the bullshit, bro. I just got done beating down some people on Facebook because they were talking about Tommy Sotomayor. And he is right. I mean, that is a black man. He's right. This nigga cut a whole video saying that black women don't love or care for their kids. Oh, and they're like, well, he is saying some stuff that makes sense. What the fuck do you mean?
I mean, nigga, we can make a video about every race. If you're gonna subscribe to a whole entire race by a subsection of their culture, of their race, then we can say that about anybody. White women don't care about their kids. Chinese women don't care about their kids. Mexican women, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's it was such a broad statement dealing with a small percentage of them. You know what I'm saying? Then the facts he bring up, and I was just like, bruh, most kids today are born in wedlock. Most kids, period, are born in wedlock today. If you're not aging,
born out of wedlock. Born out of wedlock.
Yeah, out of wedlock. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So nobody's getting married today. Like, dog, most kids today, man, stop it, man. So that's when I saw that. I'm kind of like, yo, man, you know, because sometimes I listen to Tommy just for comic. Like, I don't take him seriously at all because I think he, you know, some girl probably called him ugly. All the black girls just called him ugly when he was younger or something. Then that turned him against the black women. But I just, you know, that you know, I just can't. I can't co-sign that rhetoric at all.
Yeah, it would be like, it's a two-way street. And when I watched the video, I wasn't going to say shit. But then when I saw black dudes agreeing with it, I was like, okay, well, that's kind of what niggas do. Dudes is trash. So that didn't throw me. Then when I saw the women saying he kind of got a point, I'm like, where, bitch? Where? Because this motherfucker's saying that they are the worst stewards of children because they have them out of wedlock. But black women are also the poorest group, you know, subgroup that we're talking about. Black women get paid less than black men, than white women, than white men. So fertility is linked to poverty across the fucking universe. That's how it works. The broker you are, the more kids there are. That's how this shit works. Now, you can link that to whatever you want to do, not being able to have a job, not being able to afford contraception, anything like that. That's how that shit works. Turn around and say that they having kids with men that ain't shit. Well, that, again, it takes two people. So if the dude ain't shit and they have a baby, he's not shit when he doesn't come around that motherfucker either. How you blame it on the woman, I don't know. Oh, unless you're saying that, well, the woman needs to have an abortion. That's what he's saying. If you get pregnant and you have the kid, it's your fault because you didn't have an abortion, which is some other bullshit. He talked about women not being financially stable and having kids. Again, poverty and fertility are linked, and it's a two-way street. That shit goes hand in hand. If we talk about the laws that lock up black men at a higher rate and getting a job for a felon is hard to do, then there's going to be poverty. Whether she's with him or not, how do you expect that shit to break? I just don't understand. So seeing this video, and then we got this bullshit happening over in Charlottesville, I'm confused. Virginia. Yeah, Virginia. I'm confused as to how this shit goes together. How do we right now at this time have a video like this circulating, and we got people over here uniting and marching with tiki torches saying we won't be replaced? Who's replacing white men? Where? Who's getting the jobs in corporate America and as police officers and lawyers and judges? Who's getting those jobs if it's not white men?
Damn sure ain't us, bro.
Damn sure ain't us. And you're deporting the Mexicans, so who's getting the jobs? Where are you being replaced?
It must be them. Indians and other races saying they're black. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's what's replacement. Because if you look at it, for the first time ever, Harvard's incoming freshman class was minorities. Like the majority was minorities. Like the white people was. So maybe that's where it's coming from, Sol Ray.
Do you know how it took them years to get to that point? Harvard has been reaching, and I'm not even, look, Harvard has been reaching out to minority communities for years, giving scholarships so they could get that enrollment up. Like, yeah. This is their success. For years, they've been doing it. Nigga, I lived in Maryland when? That was in 2007. They were trying to do that shit then. They were throwing out, I know some people who went to Harvard on scholarships, and it's also graduate scholarships. So I think this was their graduate degree, right? This wasn't undergrad. This is their graduate class, wasn't it?
No, this was their coming in freshman class.
Freshman undergrad. Okay. Freshman undergrad. Yeah. So they're still putting in work. Like, that's, it took years. Like, you could go back and look at how they've been, I don't want to say poaching, but for lack of a better word, poaching the talent from other schools to get them to their school to get their enrollment up. It's been work. And I applaud them for that. But nigga, it's 2017. We're still talking about shit that happens, and we're like, oh, this is the first black so-and-so. 2017, we still have the first and the only black doing shit in 2017. But you won't be replaced? Man, it's a bag of baby dicks somewhere for you to eat. Your baby dicks.
Make sure they're white baby dicks, because I'm pretty sure they turn them down.
We don't want to be black baby dicks. We yo baby dicks that you can eat, because I don't understand. And then so we got their protest is already set up. The cops are got their thumbs up their asses. And
then we got go ahead. So I was watching some footage from the protest. They was like allowing the people that was the alt-right people. They were like pushing the cops, and the cops weren't doing shit. Let that have been like a Black Lives Matter with the police show up. You push one of them cops. It's hell. It's, I mean, dog. They first of all, they gonna have snipers shooting everywhere. Like I don't think it would have went down like that if the roles would have been reversed. If there would have been a Black Lives Matter, if they would have been protesting them taking down the statue of Robert E. Lee. Which, come on, people, this the Confederate shit. We need to let that shit go. All right. I mean, let's be honest.
But you're not even saying it right. It's not let it go. They fucking lost.
True, but you got to let go of that. Like, that's part of our history. No, it's not. Because if it's part of our history, we will have two fucking flags. You know what I'm saying? The flag won. The Stars and Stripes is what won. So that Confederate shit, the old Confederate, I understand your great-great-great-grandfather fought for them and shit, but he died fighting for them. So, you know, we don't need a statue in all these cities of all these people that fought for the Confederacy. We still got towns named after these people. You know what I'm saying? So leave it at that, but these statues and shit got to go, and I don't understand why there's so much pushback when somebody want to get rid of one of these shits, man. That shit fucking pisses me off. Like,
nigga, like, I live in Texas. I was just in Houston, and I passed a street, an intersection called Harlem and Plantation.
Oh my God.
When I looked to the left of the intersection of Harlem and Plantation, I saw a barbed wire fence. It's a fucking jail. The intersection of Harlem and Plantation. Your computer that you have has a master and a slave drive built in that motherfucker. There's so many places where the history of this country, the racist history of this country, are on display. and y'all want to cry about a statue. Y'all want to tell us to forget it, and literally everywhere we turn, we're reminded. Everywhere. I don't understand. So yes, they were out there pushing against the police officers. They were basically having football drills against the motherfuckers. I mean, that's what it was.
Just like sitting there, like, okay, calm down. Like, not right. Like, y'all was supposed to break the fucking sticks out before it got to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, y'all treat them like y'all treat the niggas. You know what I'm saying? When they out there protesting or whatever, man. God damn. I ain't seen not one. Didn't something bad happen? Like, a motherfucker drove his car into a crowd of people, right?
Yeah, so you had the protest that was planned and lined up and all this shit. Motherfuckers came from across the country to go and be in this march with their fucking tiki torches, which means that some Walmart or Home Depot, Lowe's was popping because you can't travel with them. So y'all lined up and got the somebody ordered, yeah, let me get 900 tiki torches for pickup. I don't know how that shit worked, but y'all got this shit together.
Did you see the tiki torch people like, yo, we do not condone that. Like, we don't want people thinking that. Motherfucker, stop. Like, I don't care.
No one's worried about it. Like, no one said, well, what brand of tiki torch is it? No one said that shit. this is the planned rally was already popping. And then we had an anti-racism rally, which is basically saying, we don't support that bullshit. KKK, get the fuck out of here. Somebody took that shit and said, no, you deserve to die, and ran a Camaro down. And nigga, this is, was it a Charger? It might have been a Charger. Challenger, that's what it was. He got he had to be going about 60 or 70 with no brakes.
That motherfucker, he put all the Hemi in that bitch. Well, he, blah. I mean, motherfuckers flying. That shit was wild, bro.
I wasn't expecting that. Like, when I saw, like, because I watch that shit sometimes. And I was sitting here, I'm like, okay, this is the video of him hitting the people, let me see. I wasn't expecting him to go speed racing into these motherfuckers. And bam, and then he slammed it in reverse and ran up the street.
Yeah, because he ran into a car in front of him that caused like a little, you know, he ran into another car. Then when he was like, went in reverse and got up out of there, and I was just like, that shit was wild. Like, he didn't give a fuck about nobody. I think one person died, like 19 was injured. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yo, that was one of the wildest things I've seen. That happened like Saturday, right?
Yeah, and think about this shit, man. He did that shit because he just didn't want y'all to say no racism. that's what you did. That? Nigga, that.
I mean, bruh, like,
I don't get it. And then, you know, somehow they got an interview with his mom. I guess they tracked the plates and all that shit.
Somebody snapped a picture and he got his tag on there.
Which is like if you're going to be a dirty low-life criminal, don't use your car.
Thank you.
Like, you could have stole a car.
Yeah. If you're just going to maim people with it, like, why use your car?
You can't get it repaired after the fact. Like, what the fuck are you going to do? You going to report that to the insurance? Where'd you hit?
So what happened here?
Like, there was a dirty nigga outside. I had to hit him with my car.
Like a good neighbor. Hay farm is there. Like,
the anti-progressive insurance nigga.
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. The progressive insurance.
What the fuck is that, man? I was like, okay, so what was the point? But you did that shit. They tracked down his mom, and they're talking to her on camera, and allegedly, because it seems like some bullshit. And they're like, yeah, so your son hit someone with a car. She's like, wait, what? So she's learning about it while they're recording. You didn't know anything about this? No, I knew he was going to some... I mean, we don't talk politics and stuff, but I knew he was going to some sort of rally or something. Nigga, he went from Ohio to West Virginia. What kind of rally did you think he was going to? That's not sports. There's no pro sports. What the fuck was he doing? So now you don't know what kind of rally he went to. He went to the alt-right. And she's like, no. They're like, no, alt-right. Alt-right? I mean, that's something about Trump, right? Trump's not a racist. I said, oh, my God, Becky, no.
Your son Becky, is 20 years old, and you raised this nigga. Like, yes.
Right. You know exactly who the fuck your son is.
Okay, listen. Trump may not be alt-right, and I use the quotation marks, the air quotes, when I did that. But what he has done is allowed them to, you know, get louder and on Front Street. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't denounced them like he's done everybody else, like the Muslims, the Mexicans, the Russian, whatever, not the Russians, but, you know, he talked bad about everybody else. But has Trump even came out and said anything about this yet?
So I think it's also important that I distinguish that he didn't allow, he empowered.
Yes, because he empowered them.
During his campaign, he was like egging motherfuckers on. So this wasn't like some passive-aggressive shit. This was aggressive-aggressive. So I want to finish that point about her. So she was like, she said, well, yeah, I mean, he's got a black friend. I mean, I don't understand. Oh, fuck. Okay. So
he can't be racist. He has a black friend. He had a black friend just like him, but go ahead.
Not only that, Slave Master was fucking the black women. Like, that's not, having a motherfucker close to you doesn't mean that you don't hate him. So anyway, it's so many. I'm sitting here, I've been scratching my head all week. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? So then Trump comes out and makes. I typically don't listen to most of what he says because I can't. Mm-hmm. I just can't tolerate this nigga. I've tried several times. So he comes out here, and this was. I feel like it's important that I make a comment about what's going on in Charlottesville. You know, first, I want to go ahead and shake the hands of these officers up here. These are good people. These are very, very good people. He takes a minute, goes around, shake the hand, come back. All right, so, you know, the things that are going on there, it's very ugly, very, very ugly. And we've got to stop the hate on both sides. Many, many sides. It's many sides. And, like, nigga didn't say shit. It's basically what my point is. He didn't say shit. And then after he got done not saying shit, he said, our country is doing well. Our unemployment is at very low. It's lowest it's been in a very long, long time. And we're creating jobs, and many companies are coming back. They're coming back to the United States, and this is good, and we're very good. What? What the fuck? And then he was like, okay, thank you. And he was going to sign a bill, and it was like, nigga, the bill's over here. Okay, they want me to sign it over here. And then he comes back and signs the bill and then leaves. He ain't answered no questions.
Oh, my God. So you didn't denounce, you didn't call them cowards like you did the people that blew up the club in London. You didn't, you know, you didn't. Come on, man. You tough talking with North Korea, but you ain't gonna say nothing to these crazies that you have empowered. Stop it, man.
And then he came back. He did finally come back and say that racism is ugly and needs to be stopped, or some shit like that. But he still ain't say the KKK, get the fuck out of here. That was never said. And I'm sitting here looking like earlier in the week, you done told North Korea that they'll be met with fire and fury.
Like you've never seen it. He basically said, look, nigga, like, yo, we get one more thing out of you, nigga. We gonna bring these hands, nigga. Like he basically, like, he was tough talking North Korea, man. Like, I was just like, why are you fucking poking the bear? Like, we don't know what North Korea got because they don't tell nobody. You know what I'm saying? You better leave these people alone, man.
We have no, right now we're weak as fuck.
Exactly.
We're weak as fuck. We just got done sending, our military has been doing 7 and 8 tours to go in Iraq and sit in the goddamn sun and heat and sand and pull off these stupid ass missions. They've been doing this shit several times. So these motherfuckers is tired. We got an enemy that's waiting to fuck us up.
Yes.
And you talking shit right now. We're going to have 2 wars. We got World War III going on and fucking Civil War II. What the hell?
Yes.
Hey, man. And nobody stopped him. Every day I log in Facebook and I see Trump did this. Trump did this. Every day I see it. He hasn't been impeached.
Nope.
I don't get it, man.
This man's done crazy shit. And he only been out for 7 months. Almost 7 months. And this motherfucker is then turn the country upside down. But the Trump supporters would be like, oh, it's not like that. I'm just like, what fucking planet, what country y'all live in? Like, if y'all, everything he does, y'all justify it or turn it around. And I'm just like, well, and then they always throw the blame Obama. Like, Obama not in office no more, okay? Don't blame him for shit. Like, the nigga's not there. He didn't have fuck with North Korea. He ain't empowered these crazies. When Black Lives Matter, that stop it, man. Like, that shit is needed. Like, y'all motherfuckers just don't understand. It's like motherfuckers dying every day. Like right now, like, you know, the police deaths don't even make the headlines no more, man, because we used to that shit. Like, I ain't never seen no shit like this. This shit is crazy, man. I don't know what the fuck going on. Sorry. Right?
It don't make no goddamn sense. Like, we literally had the country says that they can't support Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. Fuck the cause. You can't take a knee. We can't have an open discussion about that shit. Like, no, that's just wrong. That's not the right way you do it. Meanwhile, this dude just ran his car into people, and we can't even get him labeled as a terrorist in the fucking headline.
Nope.
The only thing stronger than white guilt is white mysticism. I'm amazed. One of my homeboys put up a post. He finally got tired of the bullshit. He put up a post. He was like, yo, if you rock with Trump or any of this bullshit that's going on, you know, the usual Facebook purge post. And white people came up on his post and was arguing with him. Like, I don't see it that way, and we need to come together. Who the fuck is we? Who the fuck is we? Why do we? What are these both sides? What are the many sides? Who is we? What do you want us to do? We march. We silently protest. We go to goddamn work. We put our hands up. We're dying. What do you want us to do?
I mean, we've seen a person die being compliant. We've seen a person die. Like, why do we, like you said, why do we have to do this? You don't tell the person, the cute, the rapist and the raper, the rapey and the raper, like, yo, y'all just need to come together. Why? Like, why? Like, this nigga hurt me. Like, man, this shit is crazy. Sorry.
It don't make no fucking sense. And nobody can answer that. No one has answered that. Mm-mm. What conversation needs to be had? Hey, stop killing me. Okay, let's talk about it. What the fuck is there to talk about? You can't blame me for being broke when you stop me from being able to buy houses in the neighborhood. And then when you allow me to buy houses in the neighborhood, you give me an interest rate that's higher than yours. And then when I can't afford it, I'm back to this bullshit. So now I got a repo and I can't afford the shit I had. And you're already paying me less. So how the fuck am I supposed to talk to you about some shit when it's your problem? Racism is your problem.
Man, you just need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and work hard. I heard a white man saying that one day I was at work. And he was just like, yeah, man, you know, everybody just need to just work hard. And I'm just like, motherfucker, no matter how hard I work, I'm never going to get the same shake as you. No matter. Like, they put nigga on LeBron wall. That's LeBron James. I'm just King Germ. I'm no fucking body. You know what I'm saying? So, come on, man. Stop it, bro. Like, Henry Gates, Skip Gates, whatever his name is.
Nah, it was Henry Gates.
He was in his own fucking house. Police pulled up on him in his own house. Thought he was trying to break in. Like, what the fuck? Like, they would have done it to nobody else in the neighborhood.
And it's justified. Well, if you look at the stats, I mean, you know, blacks are only 16% of the population. They commit 60% of crime. No.
It's impossible.
Well, not only that, I mean, just by definition, being convicted of a crime means that you got caught doing something that's against the law. As we talked about before, once slaves were emancipated, they flipped the laws overnight so that if you were black and you didn't have your freedom papers, your ass was going to jail. That makes you a criminal.
I ain't had nowhere to go. So now you arrested me for loitering, but I ain't got nowhere to fucking go. I'm free, man.
Hey, you're a criminal. So by law, you're a criminal. If I arrest you for some shit and I planted the drugs on you, you're a criminal.
Yeah. I can't read, but you telling me you ain't see the sign right here? I can't read, motherfucker.
And why can't you read? Well, we closed your schools, nigga. You're a criminal. Like, all of this shit goes into the definition of committing crimes. And let's not talk about how many black men are in jail for fucking weed, which y'all are making across the country legal.
Yeah.
But we're criminals. So if you're saying that we commit the crimes, okay, let's talk about the fucking crimes. This shit is a racket, man. It's a racket. And I get so frustrated because I'm tired of hearing the bullshit arguments. I see Tommy Sotomayor. I'm tired of seeing these brainwashed black people following that bullshit. And then we got the motherfuckers who always in the goddamn post with prayer. If you don't stop fucking praying and start fighting, I'm tired of you sitting on your hands ass praying. Hey, look, do something. This prayer shit, that's not how it works. The Bible will tell you prayer without works is dead. If you just pray for some shit and you don't do no work for that shit, you're not going to get that shit. But, you know, we crazy. We tripping. Colin Kaepernick is not worthy of a job. They just signed, what is the goddamn dude's name? Because you know I'm going to fuck his name up. Ravens just signed a quarterback today. He's a black quarterback. Thad Lewis.
Thad fucking Lewis.
Thad Lewis hasn't played since at least 2012. I'm saying at least. Let's give him 2013. I know he didn't play in 14. Thad Lewis has a job. Do you remember Thad Lewis?
I remember the name.
If I remember right, if I remember right, Thad Lewis played for like Duke or some bullshit.
Yep, he went to Duke.
So you weren't good anyway. Duke quarterback, you weren't good. You weren't good. you weren't good. It is what it is. You did Duke football team, you weren't good. So they signed Thad Lewis. So what you're telling me is you believe Thad Lewis is a better quarterback for your team than Colin Kaepernick.
Thad Lewis was signed by the Rams in 2010 as an undrafted free agent. His last, he played with the 49ers last year.
He played with everybody. He played not last year.
Yeah, 2016, he was on the 49ers roster. You know, he didn't. Oh,
okay.
You know,
he had a jersey. All right, he was on the practice team. Okay.
He was with the Eagles and the Browns. It was a practice squad member. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 14 with the Texans, 13 with the Bills, 13 mm-hmm. with the Lions as a practice squad. He was with the Browns from 11 to 12. So he's what you call a journeyman. Like,
no, what he is. Look, this is no slander towards Thad Lewis, and I didn't mean to cut you off. He's the token.
He was in 7 years, so all right.
He's the token.
His career stats. He has 1,296 passing yards.
His career?
Career. 1,296 yards. Five touchdowns, four interceptions, and he has 100 and he's 60% complete percentage, whatever you want to call it. So he's only attempted 189 passes in his career in 9 years.
So his career is four games.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, we can give him six games. We can call it half a season of a shitty team. We can give him six games. Those numbers are atrocious.
Yeah. And six games, that's 200 yards a game. So that lets you know how bad that is.
And then they only got five touchdowns. So,
and four picks. So it's like,
this nigga's trash. I'm going to say it like my boy say, trash. He's trash, bruh. And I hate to say that about another brother, but what you're telling me as the Ravens owner is that, hey, we're going to hire the black dude that everybody hires, so the black people won't be mad because we hired a black dude, but it's still not going to be Kaepernick. Mm-mm. This nigga hasn't – when was the last time he completed a pass? Because he was on the roster last year and the year before that, but when was the last time he threw a pass in a game that counted?
Let's see.
Because he's your preseason all-star, it sounds like.
Let's see.
Safe to say it's not 2016?
Not even. Probably 2014. Nope. I'm trying to think. So last time, the only time he got stats is in the Buffalo Bills. And that was in 2013. 19 for 32 for 216 yards, two touchdowns. So he hasn't completed a pass. He hasn't played since 2013.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But so this is – go ahead.
So I'm thinking all the stats came from then. Yeah, so he's horrible.
Trash. The nigga is trash, bruh. But y'all gave him a job, but Colin Kaepernick may not be right for the system. Jay Cutler was fucking retired. And a job opened up. And y'all gave him $10 million. I'm not saying that Jay Cutler isn't or is a better quarterback than Kaepernick. But y'all signed him off the couch for $10 million. Mm-hmm. He quit playing football. He said, fuck it, I'm out. And y'all gave him a job. Kaepernick hasn't thrown a pass for anybody. He hasn't even been able to work out.
Damn.
But y'all comment about that. I ain't seen nobody post up a picture. And this is really when I'm just going to go through my list and start removing people. Because I can't have the conversation of why didn't you say this or why didn't you say that. You're not even outraged or upset. You got to go. I'm just deleting motherfuckers.
Damn.
And I mean for my life. You got to go, nigga. You got to go.
And I mean for my life.
You got to go. Like the common trope is, you know, we're on Facebook and everybody's not supposed to agree with you. And okay, I understand that. But all you niggas ain't for me either. Exactly. And I got to remove the niggas that ain't for me. We ain't got to have the same opinion on everything. But black people being killed out in these streets like it's hunting season, if you don't have an opinion about that that's worth posting or at least saying to me like a bitch behind the scenes, you got to go. I don't need you in my life, nigga. This shit is annoying as fuck. I think that's pretty much everything, right? I mean, I guess if we talk about that, we got to talk about football because.
Well, I mean, going back to the little Charlottesville. Shout out to all the people that this ID and these people that was with the tiki torches and hitting them up and shit, man. Because hey, man, because like I said. It's crazy now because they're not wearing their fucking masks. They're like, yo, fuck it. I'm out here, my face showing. This is me. This is what I think. And I'm glad that we know who y'all motherfuckers are. Like, thank you. Thank you.
There's no consequence. Like, the little dude that got fired, he worked at the hot dog place. That's not...
Top dog, like, really? So the hot dog nigga. Not the nigga that work at the college, the university, or whatever, you know what I'm saying, the dude with the beard and shit. But we gonna get the hot dog. He needed his fucking job. Like,
but see, that's also my thing, because I haven't posted any of those. I've been watching them, but I haven't posted any of those because they got one or two of those wrong. And I always feel like that's the rub. I understand the passion behind it, and I get it, and I'm not gonna fault anybody for doing it. I can't do it because I know that we're gonna fuck that up. Just like when the black dude was in Dallas and they ID'd him for having a gun, and they was ready. He's been getting death threats. And it wasn't even him. So I think that's just a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah.
I think it's a dangerous thing to do when you're not sure. Like, once you ID the motherfucker, like the dudes that were hitting the dude with the pole and busting the shit open, once you ID that nigga, hey, it's on. But the white people that they're showing, like, y'all are good at picking the doppelganger. A lot of the motherfuckers y'all are selecting as the person in the picture that's not the person in the picture looks like the person in the picture. Like, hey, I thought that was really that nigga. He like, no, that's not him. Are you sure? That looks like that nigga. They got the same beard. That's not him? And then you see the picture of the action dude. You're like, oh, shit. Y'all twins?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a fan of that shit. Like, I'm just not. I think that's kind of reckless. That's the trouble with social media. That's very reckless.
It's crazy. Cause people crazy. Like you said, Buddy in Dallas, the one they thought was doing the shooting, man. Like, I'm glad, like, he was, like, still there. And he was like, whoa, it's not me. Like, because they probably would have hung that man. Like, they would have hung his ass. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Thank God.
Yeah, so, I mean, they out here putting it out there. And I'm like, y'all got to be, you got to be careful. I understand the spirit and the rage and the exuberance. I get all of that. But I right is right and wrong is wrong, man. I'm not trying to have white people out here getting their ass kicked. When they weren't even there.
Yeah.
And I do want to say this, too. Now, I'm not the most highly educated motherfucker. If y'all don't know, this is a comedy podcast. So if you see me on the streets and you feel some kind of way, it's a joke. And if you want to fight me for it, I'm pressing charges. I'm that nigga. I will go to the cops. I will. The same cops I just spent 20 minutes slandering, I will go to them niggas and tell on you. I will. Your ass, I'm telling. 40 years old, I'm not out here fighting these streets. I'm telling on your ass. You come up and try me, I'm telling. The goddamn commercial for, I think it was Procter & Gamble, put out this commercial called The Talk.
The Talk.
Where black mothers are sitting down with their kids and saying, hey, basically people going to call you nigga. People going to discriminate you. People going to attack you. You got to be wary about that shit. You got to keep your head on the swivel, yada, yada, yada. Don't let that get you down. The talk that we all have. People came out and said that was racist. I don't fucking understand how there's two sides to this.
I
man. I don't. If you set, I said this on my Facebook. If you set a fucking house on fire, and the whole neighborhood burns down, it's not because that fire was rogue. It's your fucking fault. You set the fire, nigga. You can't blame the flames. I mean, it was just supposed to be this house. Those fucking flames caught everything else. They're so unruly. Nigga, you started the fire. If you oppress and legalize and segregate and kill me and arrest me and profile me and stop me from opportunity and fire me and hunt me, and I say that's enough, that's not hate. Nigga, that's a response. We've done, when you set us free, you liberated us. When you set us free, we went and set up our own communities. Y'all burned them down.
Mm-hmm.
When we try to leave, y'all killed us. When we try to move out of the areas that are disenfranchised because you've closed the schools and shit, you don't allow us to move in different areas. Nigga, they did a whole movie about Jackie Robinson just trying to play ball and calling him nigga.
Yeah.
Imagine getting death threats for playing ball. That's a strong man, because I wouldn't have made it past one game.
Yeah, and he had it written. He couldn't say nothing. Like, they was like, look, you going? He had it like in his contract. You can't retaliate or nothing. You just got to take it. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, damn, you want to play baseball that bad? Like, god damn. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that hey, man.
But that speaks to because he knew what he was doing. Like, never mind the fact that the Negro Leagues were accepted across the border before they were here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the Negro League players would go down to Mexico and Cuba and shit and would play ball on the international teams and be superstars. And then come over here and be struggling.
Yeah.
And so when white people saw, hey, like, these motherfuckers got talent, let's go ahead and start bringing them over. Let's start with Jackie. You know what I'm saying? This, he knew what he was doing. He was like, yo, this is the first frontier. Like, I got to be the dude. I don't know that I could do that shit.
I couldn't do it. Because I'm not going to be a grown-ass man and some little 12-year-old kid like, nigga! I couldn't, nah, I'm sorry. That bat would have flew out my hand on one swing and I would have took out somebody. Just like, oh my God, the bat, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh man. So yeah, I commend that man for that, because I couldn't have done it. I'm sorry, I couldn't have done it. I couldn't. I'm sorry. I couldn't have been born in the 40s and the 50s and had to live through that time, because, I mean, maybe we say that now, knowing how we are now, but maybe we would be different if we was born back then. We'd be conditioned to, oh, don't look in the white person's eyes or something, you know, little shit like that. Like, I couldn't imagine that shit, man. Like, living with that much restraint. Like, you can't even look at a motherfucker for fear of getting killed. Like, no.
No, that's a really good fucking point. I mean, because we've been born with a certain amount of freedom to do shit.
Privilege.
Thank you. A certain amount of privilege to do shit and voice how we feel and navigate through this country the way that they couldn't. So the idea of doing that and dealing with what he deal with is a regression far beyond what we were even normal, what we were even used to. So that's why we definitely say, but like you said, if we were born in that time, it might be different. It was different for them. Because every day, like, imagine if you were just riding the bus to get to your job, keeping your head down. And and Martin Luther King and everybody says, you know what, we're not taking the bus. You're going to have to walk, or we'll get a carpool together, or, you know, we'll walk together to get you to work. Hey, nigga, my job is 6 miles away. Hey, if you're going to do it, this is what we're doing. Fuck it. I got to do it. That's what them motherfuckers did. You tell a dude right now, hey, man, look, Ford just made a large donation to the KKK, and they're backing the KKK, man. You can't drive your Ford no more. Hey, nigga, unless you're going to give me a car, I'm driving this Ford. That Ford paid for, man. That's where we are now. So, like, this is everyday shit. The people before us, and that's why we don't have the same hunger and desire to do shit. That's why we don't have a lot of leaders, is because the people before us had everything to lose.
Yeah.
And it was nothing. It was their everyday life. Playing ball, nigga, is a frontier that need to be broke. Working at a certain institution was a frontier that needed to be broke. Going from being a driver to driving your own shit. Like, all of this regular shit that we take for granted was a battlefront. And we can't get motherfuckers together to just, hey, just buy some shoes from a black dude. I mean, what are you going to do with the money? Why are they so expensive? What's the quality like? Like, God damn. This motherfucker, Colin Kaepernick said, fuck it. I'm taking the knee because I think this shit is fucked up. We got niggas in the league right now. We got legends saying that he got to stop that shit. I don't understand. So we got this shit going on. We still have some people that are like, fuck that. Marshawn Lynch, who don't talk. Marshawn Lynch don't talk. So no one knew this shit was coming. Game one of the preseason. Anthem. Marshawn Lynch is sitting his ass on the bench like, and? I'm not standing for this shit. Michael Bennett, who's always talking shit. Anthem, he's sitting on the bench too. Why is it two people?
They said that the Seahawks team joined and like they was at, they stood up, but they were arm in arm, and Michael Bennett was sitting down. Marshawn said he never stood up for the damn anthem. He said, I never did that shit. He's like, yo, check the tapes, nigga. Like,
I
was
like, I love the nigga Marshawn Lynch, bro.
And they don't want to check him. Like, they ain't not gonna say that. Like, that's the no. But then you got, you know, these new niggas we got on the cool train. James Harrison told him some, if anybody, my teammates sitting down, they leg, they better be in a wheelchair or something. Like, nigga, who the fuck are you, James? I know you a tough guy, all that, but you got a nigga on your team that been accused of rape, but that's okay. As long as he stand up for the anthem, right? Okay.
Right. Man, look, who did I just, got done watching Alonzo Bolden, comedian. And he was talking about football players. He was talking about the same thing. And he was like, the other day I was so confused because I watched a dog killer throw a ball to a convicted rapist and got tackled by somebody who killed somebody drunk driving. And I was like, holy shit, that's the league, though.
Yeah.
That's the fucking league. You got Colin Kaepernick out here who risked it all. He was a millionaire. So that gives you the freedom to actually make those kinds of decisions because you got money.
Yeah.
But he risked it all. Just because he felt like risking it all. He wasn't trying to make no stand for nobody else. The nigga saw some injustice and said, fuck it. Y'all put the mic in his face. So now we got that done. And the league that's 70% black, we got two niggas sitting down. Two niggas.
Look, I seen a meme. They was like, they showed back in the day when Muhammad Ali was going through his stuff. All the black athletes that stood with him. It was Muhammad, Bill Russell, Jim Brown. It was like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It was like all the icons basically standing together. But today, nobody. I mean, LeBron say his little stuff. You know what I'm saying? LeBron say a little something. You know what I'm saying? He ain't like Michael Jordan to it. Like, yo, that shit don't affect me. I'm sorry. I don't know. But LeBron say something. But other than, we need more. Like you said, it's 70%. Y'all the majority. If the majority sits down, what they gonna do? What they gonna do?
He's saying that shit now. Let's not forget that LeBron also took the bitch road out when they asked him, you know, about Tamir Rice.
Research all the facts and ain't no facts to research. A 12-year-old in your city was killed by the police.
there's literally no research that needs to be done.
I mean, a 12-year-old was killed by the police. Like he wasn't out here robbing folk. He wasn't out here, he was playing with a gun in a park by himself. Like, I could see if he was, oh, cars are going by and they're saying little kids pointing a gun at him and he shook a couple people down, robbed a couple folks. I'm not saying it would have been okay to kill him then, but I can see why the threat level would be higher. But come on, man.
Yeah, this is not little Tariq from Power. He was sitting on the bench chilling. A cop rolled up and popped his ass. LeBron, what the fuck do you need to read? You're on Instagram every day, but you didn't know the facts? All right, whatever. We'll give you an out. Eric Garner was murdered. You had on a shirt that said, I can't breathe, but you did that to support families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you've been emboldened, and you know, better late than never. Happy to have you. Welcome aboard, nigga. But we don't see enough of that shit. We don't. And I'm starting to like the awakening of a lot of these sportscasters, too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these motherfuckers are getting it in. They're like, hey, man, fuck that. This is some bullshit. Y'all niggas need to be ashamed of yourself. I really wish Bomani was on TV every day because this is his wheelhouse.
Oh, man. I mean, hey, listen. And like I said, a lot of these sports people got to put these opinions on my own and not my employer. Like, because I guess it's like they let too many niggas in the dough now. Niggas speaking up, and they don't, you know, they don't like that shit. Like, why? It's okay. You can have your millions, but you got to shut the fuck up. We want you to be the Jackie Robinson model. That's what we are used to. That's what we like. We don't want you being outspoken. If you're outspoken, we're going to push you out. We're going to ostracize you, make you like you bad for business. Colin Kaepernick was a backup quarterback. How did he be, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. And now we out here.
Backup. Never.
And now never. We out here protesting because we want, and that's where it gets weird because we're fighting because, oh, he needs to get a job. I'm not even saying that he's a quarterback that needs to have a job. What I'm saying is that he needs to be treated like he's worthy of a job, and he's not being treated like that.
I can't name too many quarterbacks that played in the Super Bowl that don't have a job.
I can't either.
The Super Bowl recently. I ain't talking about like in the 90s. This man was in the Super Bowl 5 years ago, man.
I don't understand this shit. I don't fucking get it. And it's just tiring, man. It's so tiring to sit up here and watch this bullshit and to hear these coons running around here saying everything but, you know, you need to cut your hair. Mike Vick, you still ain't get your number retarded with your bitch ass. They were supposed to, that was West Virginia, wasn't it? They were supposed to be retiring your number. And the people protested because they said, hey, we don't want that dog killer to get his number retired. But you got a clean cut haircut. You did jail time, nigga. You showed contrition. You gave money. You've been a steward to the whole goddamn movement of PETA. And you still ain't getting no respect in these streets with your puss ass.
Nigga.
Ray Lewis has been...
This might be a rumor, but Mike Vick said his wife didn't cut him off after his comments about Colin Kaepernick need to cut his hair. So he ain't getting no ass at home. It's right, you should. Miss Vick, don't get him no pussy. Fuck that.
Pussy don't need pussy?
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't even... The fact that came out of some bullshit. Like, let's not marginalize the comments that you said, which were hurtful and fucked up. Because you just repeated and regurgitated the shit that a lot of people think. And unfortunately, it's a lot of black people that think it. I don't understand this shit. I mean...
Yeah, I had a friend on Facebook. I really respect him. But he said some shit. I really wanted to know what he meant. Because he was like, no, his son can't have locks or braids. And I was just like, why not? Like, I mean, it's you know what I'm saying? Why, like, he didn't go into it. I meant to ask him, but I didn't want to put him on Front Street and explain himself. But cause he was like, oh, my son getting his first haircut. And they're like, I want you, you know, braid now. He's like, no locks or braids over here. And I was like, why not? Like, what does that mean? Like, your hair doesn't define who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and I get it. As a black man, I understand how much we operate through life trying not to be threatening. Trying not to fit the stereotypes. I get it. I've gone into places and had my Afro pick in my head. And I was like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and take this shit out because I feel like it's going to be some shit.
Yeah.
I've taken in consideration someplace I'm going and I switch shirts or pants or some shit like that. Like, I get it. But I also don't feel like that needs to be preached as the norm. Yes. Black people feeling like me being my natural fucking self is a threat. Therefore, for me to increase my chances of living, I need to not do this, this, and this. I vehemently reject that idea. I get it, but I don't accept it. I understand it, but I don't accept it. Does that mean that I want to die because I walk into a place with a pick in my head? No, but I also don't want to live at a place where I could die for having a pick in my head. Like, that's the fucking rub. Like, life is not that precious to where I need to be around if I'm hated. If that's the case, then I need to fucking go. I don't want to move in a place like that. I don't want to be in a place like that. And so, you know, I'm just... This shit is a mess. So even, like, the other day, before all this shit popped off, I was doing the typical saw right. It's about that time for me to cut this hair. It's about the time for me to do something different with my hair. And then I see this shit. Nigga, I want to blow my afro out so bad. Because now I'm just like, I feel like I have to. I feel like it's a statement now that I'm making every time I go somewhere. Yeah. And not that Austin has any issues going on, or if they do, I don't know about them. I don't move in the streets like that. Nigga, I go to the gym and I go home. That's literally 90% of my year. Gym, home. That's it. When I do go out, Afro pick, Afro is happening. That's my statement, man. I'm so frustrated with this shit. We kind of shot this. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got one more entry in the Coon train.
Who that?
LaDainian Tomlinson. During his Hall of Fame speech, he shouted out the slave master that gave him the last name, Tomlinson, and he is proud to be mixed and have the last name, Tomlinson.
Wait. He's proud to be what?
Mixed. A mixed race. That's exactly what he said.
Wait, what is he mixed with?
I guess from the slave master way back when, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm gonna pull it up. I'm gonna let this soak in, bro. Like, cause that nigga said that crazy shit this morning.
So what you're telling me is that he's saying that he's mixed because he has a slave master's last name.
Yes. I mean, CTE.
170 years ago, George was brought here in chains on a slave ship from West Africa. His last name, Tomlinson, was given to him by the man who owned him. Tomlinson was the slave owner's last name. My name began with the man who owned my great-great-great-grandfather. Now, it's proudly carried by me, my children, my extended family. People stop me on the street because they know me as LT, the football player. But after football, people have begun to recognize me as LaDainian Tomlinson. Not simply for what I did as a football player, but for who I am as a man. I firmly believe that God chose me to help bring two races together under one last name, Tomlinson. I'm a mixed race, and I represent America.
Okay, wait. Let me not be disrespectful because I don't know what he's been doing since he retired from football.
Well, we know what he was doing while he was playing, taking too many goddamn hits. Because he shit. So, I'm like, oh, when I seen that shit, I said, God damn, my wits all right, man. This football need to be stopped.
So I'm just following the bouncing ball. James, my great, 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 great grandfather, actually it can't be that many greats.
Yeah.
It's probably your great, great. Like, but anyway, we're going to go ahead and give you five greats.
Yeah.
He was brought over as a slave.
Yeah.
And the person that owned him name was Tomlinson.
Yes.
So he gave him the name.
Yes.
And then the person who was given the name Tomlinson slept with another black woman, and that started the lineage.
Yes.
So there's no mix to your fucking race. Your name came from being property.
Yes.
So you're not family with the nigga that owned you. You're property.
Yeah, like my dog is my property. She has my last name, but that's not, you know what I'm saying?
First of all, why does your dog have a last name? Anyway.
When you go to the doctor, they give your dog your last name. So if Saul Wright went to the doctor and you took your Siberian Husky, your dog name would be Binko Wright. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you're going to call your name. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus Christ. That's a whole level of weirdness that I don't... We giving dogs last name, but gay people can't be married. But gay people can't be married, but we giving dogs last names for no fucking reason.
Because they're property.
Property don't need a fucking name. This is ketchup bottle. This is not ketchup bottle, right? The fuck is going on?
You bringing two races together. Like, what?
You weren't bringing shit together. They bought you. And they gave you a name, nigga.
Yes. Like, they used to put a fucking brand on your ass, but I guess they was like, you know what? Can't brand them all. Let's just give them the last name. Like, you know, or did they give you the option once you were free?
No fucking option. You got both. You were branded as part of the Tomlinson Ranch. So, like, that's what the fuck. Nigga, that is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Dog. Fucking LaDainian Tomlinson. Coon. Super Coon. Like, I I wasn't married to a white woman. Let me see if you're married to a white woman.
That is the dumbest shit. I am proud to be a mixed race. There has to be a loophole here. He has to have someone else in his family that his mom, someone directly like his mom, maybe his grandmother. I give you another generation. That has to be outside of black.
Just look at the news things. Chargers great LaDainian Thompson sees opportunity to bring people together. Another story. Society could stand the heat, Thomason. What?
Look, man, let's just his wife that he married in 2003 is LaTorsha Oakley. So she black.
Oh yeah. Hands down.
LaDainian's father, Oliver Tomlinson, and brother-in-law Ronald McClain, they're black. So we know on your daddy's side you're black. We don't see shit about his mother. Let's see. Tomlinson wrote whoever the fuck Chris Tomlinson is. I guess that's one of your family members. Trace the story of two families, one white and one black, from a plantation in Tomlinson Hill, Texas.
Oh.
The plantation was owned by Chris Tomlinson, which is the white guy who owned his ancestors. And y'all acting like family? Nigga, if I find out that the white Tomlinsons are having a family reunion every year with the black Tomlinsons, oh my God. That's the we that y'all was talking about to overcome racism.
Look, Tom Brady, LaDainian Thompson and his wife helped train my dog.
Jesus Christ.
LaDainian Thompson on drafting his future wife.
They killing
Whoa.
It. But this is the line that he said. This is his truth. The plantation was owned by Chris Tomlinson's great-great-grandparents. Two greats. Great-great-grandparents. And LaDainian descended from a slave owned by Chris's ancestors. So Chris Tomlinson wrote a book where he traces the story of two families, one white and one black. The fact that you decided to write a book about your family and the family that you owned, and you got the nigga who is a descendant of the property of your ancestors to write the foreword for that book and shake hands with you, is some ridiculous shit. Mm. Now we're family because we owned you? We just got over it. We cool. I don't need them kind of niggas in my corner or in my life. That's crazy. That's probably the most dumb shit I've ever heard, dog, for real. Somebody's listening to the show and saying, I don't understand. I mean, what is he supposed to do? Be mad? No, but you don't have to say you're not mixed race.
Yeah.
You're not mixed race, bruh. Jesus Christ. If Germ's dog has puppies. Those puppies are not half human.
Mm-mm. Nope. Even though my dog thinks she's a human, but she's not.
She's not. So, Dana, you have no parts of your DNA that matches Chris Tomlinson. So if Chris Tomlinson has a friend or has a sister, does that mean that's your cousin?
According to LaDainian, yes.
Man, fuck that dude and fuck that theory. And if you agree with that shit, fuck you too.
Damn, sorry, right? Tell me how it goes.
Man, anyway, man, we got TV talk this week.
TV talk!
Is that that's the intro? That's the...
Yeah, man, just for this week.
kind of on the same lines, I want to point this part out, so we're going to go with Insecure first. There was a portion of Insecure when Lawrence got pulled over by the cops. And I'm kind of shocked that for the first... This is the first time we've seen race addressed in this show, right?
Pretty much. Like,
I mean, we've seen the awkward moments for the black person working in a white office.
Yeah.
But this one was like the first time the experience of being black. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Because it's filled with situations where the black person's standing out like a sore thumb from their point of view. So I shouldn't say that. But he got pulled over by the cops. And it felt like that moment. You know what I'm saying? He did the same thing everybody else did. He got caught. The officer gave him the bullshit before he got his ID. And then the little tongue-in-cheek. I really do have to say that whoever they got punching up the script this year, great job. This shit is like damn near comedy this year.
Larry Wilmore has, he's helping out with the writing.
But he was there the first season. It wasn't as funny.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like they got somebody else punching this shit up. Punching it up is meaning there's a comedian back there writing in laughs. So I feel like they got somebody else doing that because he was like, yeah, something about you being at Georgetown last year. We beat your ass. He's like, yeah, y'all did beat us. It was a college joke, but we beat y'all last year. That's some real shit.
Yeah.
I just thought that was dope. So that was like the black moment on the show. Jerm, please highlight and quarterback this episode for the people. And don't skip over the menage a trois.
Oh, you're going to have to quarterback it.
You didn't watch it?
It just came on last night, so all right.
Did you watch the other shit?
I just watched Game of Thrones.
How the fuck do we do TV talk and you watch one of three shows?
It's all right. We've done it before when only one person watches the show.
Well, I didn't know that shit when we was doing the goddamn TV talk. I found out afterwards. This whole goddamn show is a sham. Shit is over.
It's an alt show.
It's a nappy alter.
Nappy
alt fro. Nappy alt fro up in this bitch. So, on the episode, Issa is getting her hold of men.
Oh my god.
She's celebrating, right? She's going out and she's actively talking about, I'm going to fuck this guy. They went out to a party. It was her, Yvonne Orgy. I can't remember their names all the time, right?
Yvonne Orgy is her name.
Yeah, Orgy. Please make sure you say Orgy, because that is her name. And
her name, I don't remember, like Melody or something like that?
Yeah, some shit like that. They went out to the club. They're having a good time and shit. Lawrence is out. He decided he's going to hit the streets. He gets pulled over by the cop, like I said. That shit happens. He goes to the liquor store to go out and pregame with his boys. He leaves his wallet. All his ID fell out when he was giving it to the cop. His credit cards and shit fell out. He goes in the store. He don't have money. These two white girls buy his drinks.
Mm-hmm.
As he's walking back out to the car, the white girls approach him like, yo, what you doing tonight? What you getting into? And they let it be known that it's time to fuck. So he goes back to the crib with them instead of hanging out with his boys. And the next thing you see is one of the girls, well, the girl is kissing on him, and then the other girl comes in and kisses on the girl, and then they start kissing him. So it's on and popping. Right. And this kind of relates to the tweets, too. So there's a fuck scene in there again. He fucks one of the girls and finishes, and the other girl says, okay, my turn. And he's like, okay, wait, give me some time to get ready, whatever.
Refract.
Yeah. Give me some time. And then they end up, the goddamn threesome is over. They let it be known that they're hunting black men to fuck. They were like, they were like, yeah, this doesn't happen with the other black guys we fucked. They're ready to get back in it. And he was like, other? Like, y'all do this? And then they were like, you know who could fuck? Leroy. You're like, girl, yeah. So then they're like, such and such and such. Like, they went off in a whole other conversation. So this is what they do. And I was like, okay, so now we talk about the black butt myth. That's dope. Good job, Issa. Good job, Larry. So that was on this episode. The tweet that Short T had out, that was Short T was tweeting, right? Short T was tweeting about condom usage and how there's no showing of condom usage in the sex scenes. You said that it's implicated.
Yeah, I think it should be implied that everybody's having safe sex. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never, like, as many sex scenes as we've seen in movies, how many times have you seen, it's only been a handful of times that you've seen somebody reach for a condom. You know what I'm saying? Like, but other than that, you don't never see it. So you just, like, I've seen people just come in the house, start fucking, and, in the office, whatever. Like, I've seen sex scenes on all the shows, and nobody ever uses a condom. So for somebody to bring it up about Insecure, I'm like, so where have you been in television history? Because, we've seen people have sex on TV, and they never show, like, did you use protection? Unless it's, like, that episode where they're talking about protection, or I don't want to get pregnant, or something like that. But other than that, they don't show it.
So is it implied, or are we assuming?
Benny? Who's that? That's the person that helped write Insecure, right?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, Short T tagged them motherfuckers, which I thought was pretty bold.
Short T, that guy, bro.
I mean, I thought that was pretty bold. You talk about this shit and you're going to tag them. Like, I'm sure they can search it and they'll find it, but whatever. So we're assuming, like, you're assuming that it's safe sex. Because there's nothing to imply. Like, there's no condoms on the, in the in the picture, so there's nothing to imply that it was safe sex. You're just assuming that it's safe sex.
Yeah.
Well, that, so if I guess the point I'm making is that for it to be implied means that there's some kind of context to where that's the norm.
Yeah.
And according to the CDC, that's not the norm. And the norm is that people are fucking raw. That's the norm. We just had this whole case about Usher spreading herpes last week.
Yeah.
It's the norm is that people are not using condoms. That's why we got babies out here. That's why we got diseases out here. That's because people are not using protection. So I feel like for a show, and this is where it starts to get into the black shit. For a black show, sometimes that kind of shit is important to reflect our fucking culture and what we're dealing with. So I'm not giving Issa flack for not showing the condom usage in there, but I feel like it would have been a fine touch to show that shit. It would have been completely welcome.
That they using condoms? So
to imply it, yeah, to show a condom wrapper in the sex scenes, completely fine.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's, you know, to, you know, I guess people looking for too much reality in a TV show. Like, we still got to remember at the end of the day, it's a TV show. So you can't, like when I tell the show T, I like, they don't show everybody taking dumps and using the bathroom there, but we just assume that you took a shit that day. Like, if you don't show me taking a shit in, you know, this episode, I'm assuming that you took a shit that morning before you got in the shower. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's one of the things that's implied. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to show a person eating every day on the show, but you're going to assume that they ate. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, because we know that there's consequences for that. We know that you don't have to shit every day, but we know if the show is based on a week, we don't have to see you using the bathroom, but we know you use the bathroom. The consequence for that is that you're going to fucking die. We don't have to see you eating, but if the show is for a week and we don't see you eat, we know that you ate because you're still alive. That shit makes sense. But if you're fucking and there's no indication that there's a condom, we don't know shit.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, you'd be like, oh, they don't use condoms. Like, I mean, I feel like if you're not in a relationship, you're using a condom, you know what I'm saying? Like, if like with Issa and Lawrence, I feel like, okay, they together, so no, I don't expect them to use condoms. But like, if the one night stands, like, because when Issa had her little one night stand with Buddy, did he grab a condom?
No, and that's the point. I think that's the point. If you're showing black life, which this show is centered around blackness, those kind of things would be a great tool to have in there. It would be great to show that part of, because these are all responsible people. I mean, fucking Yvonne is a virgin.
In real life, that's crazy.
Yeah, which, so for me, it would be important to show that we're not the bullshit. It would be, it would be dope.
But she cuts on the show.
Yeah, she's a clean comic, so she's living a totally alternate life. This kind of stuff would be interesting and good to show on the show. So I get Shorty's point on that. I don't think it's required, but it'd be a nice nod for the goddamn show.
So you think they need to introduce a character that's clean cut, that's still friends with them, and he's like, you know, plain Jane, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Is that what you're asking?
No, because if we're being honest, I think all them niggas are clean cut and plain Jane and boring.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay. I mean, that's their character. That's their universe. I get it. But the sex part is just something that should be part of the universe. Safe sex should be part of all of these universes.
I just can't see Issa Horn, man. She don't look like the whole type. You know what I mean? Like, but them be the ones, man. You got to watch out.
But that was the whole point of it, because her trying to act like she was out here getting a dick, she was out there fucking, it was awkward for her, and she couldn't find her stride. So she saw old boy that she fucked with, that she cheated on Lawrence with, she saw him and she tried to apologize, and that didn't go over well, and like, the whole episode, like, you had to see it, it's hard for me to describe the shit without seeing that episode.
I'm gonna watch it when the show is over with.
Yeah, they did a really good job of that on this episode of explaining how they both living their life. Both of them are just doing the most. Lawrence is out here fucking up. Issa's out here trying to be extra, and she can't even do that shit right. And they broached the topic of having an open relationship as well. So you got to see the episode, man. It was a good episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
What did you watch? So you watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that was like only, you know, today was the first day of school. So last night I was just trying to get my kids ready. My daughter was nervous about going to middle school, so I had to, you know, kind of talk to her and everything. So I all my TV schedules got fucked up last night, man.
Ah, I got you. I got you. So what did you think, quarterback, the Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, episode, what was it, 5, 6?
That sounds about right. I think it's 6 for some reason. I don't know why, but I feel like it's 6.
It might have been 5. Yeah, it might have been 5 because we got 2 left. It was all right. I mean, it was definitely like last week was the Last week was the fucking scene with the dragons, and we finally got to see dragons kill people and in action. So this week was kind of like a fucking, you know what I'm saying, we were just coming back down, man. And you know, a lot of scenes set in stone. You got Littlefinger being Littlefinger, Arya watching him, and he set a trap for Arya. She got caught in the trap. So Littlefinger's up to something. I don't understand why Bran won't be like, listen, Littlefinger, Snake, we got to kill this nigga. Like, Bran, if you know everything, why is Littlefinger still alive? You know, I know you need his army and all that shit, but we got to see something. Because Littlefinger is not, I mean, he can't be trusted. You know what I'm saying? So what else happened? Then finally Daenerys, what'd she do? She killed Sam Daddy and his brother Dickon. Jamie's still alive after Jamie tried to kill Daenerys in the 2 episodes ago. What episode before last night when Bronn hit him with the fucking scorpion, hit the dragon Drogon with the fucking scorpion, and he was like wounded. So Jamie, he saw an opening, he was gonna go ahead and, you know, keep the Kingslayer's name alive and kill another motherfucker while their back was turned. But little did he know, the dragon goddamn had one more trick in his bag and fucking flamed the horses, and goddamn Bronn saved his life. And we, you know, last episode ended with Jaime just going to the bottom of the ocean, which I'm not happy about that. You have a fucking suit of armor on and a golden hand. You supposed to sink to the bottom, my nigga. like there's nah. Bronn saved him. Like, when I saw when the episode started off and Bronn saved him, I mean, I kind of knew they weren't going to kill Jaime like that, because, you know, he deserves a better death. But he's still alive. Bronn set up a meeting with Jaime and Tyrion. They talked about what's going on. They should merge and everything like that. You know, Cersei was listening, but I think Cersei got another plan up her sleeve. Like, so watch out for Cersei. She's a fucking a shifty bitch, and you better watch her. So Daenerys, do not trust her. We ended the episode with seeing Jon and what's that dude named? The Wildling dude, the head of the Wildlings. And Jorah Mormont. Hey, did you see that when Mormont finally seen Daenerys, what she said? My friend. I was like, ooh, I know that hurt. My friend. I know, he was just like, bitch.
Nigga came all the way back. I done went through having my skin ripped off my body to come back and be by your side. And you gave me a motherfucking bro hug.
Church hug, and you call me your friend. Like, what?
God damn. That nigga's never getting that pussy. He's never getting that pussy.
Before he get that pussy. Like, he's gonna die.
He almost died like 4 times.
Yes.
He's never getting that pussy, bro.
It's like he walked up and seen Jon Snow. He was like, what, this the new nigga? Like, this the new nigga? He was kind of looking like, this the new nigga? Like, yo, like.
You know what he was thinking? Like, oh, another nigga with long, dark hair. And every time.
I'm a type. He's like, you got a type, and I'm not here.
Every time it's a nigga with long, dark hair, I'm out. Every fucking time. I think that's why he was ready to go first. She was like, well, who's going to get him? He's like, fuck it, I'll do it. You got this nigga here. I go, fuck.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we did get a good scene. Maybe it was a little foreshadowing with John not being scared of the dragon. He touched the dragon. The dragon seemed to like him. So maybe the dragon knows that he has dragon blood in him too. So, you know, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe that was a little foreshadowing. We had a Renly Baratheon sighting. Like, fuck, we hadn't seen that motherfucker since he rode off at the Blackwater, at the Battle of Blackwater. And fucking right. Renly, there he is, man.
This shit, like, they starting to speed this shit up, which, I mean, how many is in this episode? How many episodes in this season?
We only got 7 this season. So we got 2 more episodes of Game of Thrones. It's going to be finished right before football, which you don't care about, sorry, because you're not watching football.
I'm not watching football this season, so.
Even though the Rams picked up Sammy Watkins, and still not going to watch?
I'm done, bro. And I feel like, I don't know if I explained this last episode or maybe people missed it. Number one, Colin Kaepernick. Number two, the CTE reports. I can't support that. It's kids that grow up, and that's no shade to you for coaching the football shit, but kids grow up idolizing these motherfuckers thinking it's the way out in certain situations. So they're taking these hits before middle school. In Texas, these motherfuckers is playing football early as fuck. And then they get to high school and they study taking these hits. And then they get to college and they study taking these hits. And some of these niggas are not getting jobs in the NFL. A lot of them are not getting jobs. Yeah. And if you're black, some of you motherfuckers not getting college scholarships. Some of you are not learning properly in high school because you're a better athlete. And then you get to college and you're not learning that properly. And then you end up on shit like Second Chance U and shit like that. And your earning potential and your learning potential is stunted for playing a sport that's killing you. I can't rock with that, bro. I can't do it. So that's why I'm missing.
Yeah, but this week episode, you know, going back to Thrones, it was like I said, it was a come down from last week's episode. So, you know, I'm interested to see what sets up in the coming next 2 weeks, because it's going to be a long time before we see another Thrones. 2018, people, get ready.
I got two questions.
Yes, sir.
When did we start calling her Daenerys again?
Ain't it her name? Oh, her name's Khaleesi. Right. Khaleesi means queen in Dothraki.
But she's been Khaleesi for fucking four seasons.
Well, no, her name is Daenerys Targaryen. When she got married to Khal Drogo, Khaleesi is a name given to the queen in the Dothraki tribe.
So we were calling her, as people who watch the show, we were calling her Khaleesi.
Uh-huh.
And now, this season, I understand her name is Daenerys. I'm saying, when did we switch back to calling her Daenerys?
Maybe when, after the damn, that was when she showed everybody that she was that shit, when they tried to burn her alive. I don't know. Yeah, why is she back to Daenerys Stormborn? Like, that's the one that threw me off. They were like, Daenerys Stormborn, the first of my name, the breaker. Yeah.
I said, when the fuck did we do this? When the fuck did we do this? When did we switch back? And, like, I get this her name, but when did we make the transition? And because even across the internet, when people are talking about it, they're saying Daenerys. And I'm like, when did we do this? Because it was Khaleesi last year. And maybe I missed something in episode one. Second thing, Cersei has always been a savage, but when did she get to this point of savagery?
She's been there all since the beginning of the show. Like, that's why I love Cersei. Like, that's my bitch. Like, I love Cersei. Like, she's just so mean and evil and just, oh my God. Like, when I seen her in another movie, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, yo, I was watching, The Purge or some shit? She was on The Purge. I was looking like, yo, that face looks so familiar, but she had black hair. And I was just like, hold on, that's Cersei. Like,
she said, man. Sometimes you play a role so well, that's your role. Ain't nothing else you can do. Her career's over. You got to max it out. So now, who are you taking? If you had to pick a bottom bitch, you got Cersei, you got Tasha, you got Khaleesi.
I mean, it's only one choice. That's Khaleesi. She got dragons. I mean, like, that's the only choice. Like, that's the only choice. Like,
she's never going to listen to you, though. You know that.
Yeah, I mean, Cersei ain't going to listen to you either. She'll be like, Cersei will kill you. Like, at least the nigga will give you a chance. You know what I'm saying? She'll be a little understanding, but Cersei, like, she's going to, like, listen, I want it now. I want the dick now. You don't give a thing. She's going to cut your dick off. She's going to fuck herself with your dick. Then she's going to throw it, like, that's what's gonna happen.
She told the nigga, she said, "Don't ever betray me again." I said, "Damn!"
Yeah, and Jamie like, "Oh shit!"
Like, it's over. She's pregnant with our kid, and she just told me, after giving me a hug and giving me the news, "Don't ever betray me again, nigga. I will fucking kill you." Like, she's like,
"You gonna tell him you're the father?" She's like, "I'm the queen, nigga."
Like, right. Every time he's like, "You know, you gotta back down." She's like, "Shit.
What they gonna do? Didn't you just see me just blow up this whole fucking city? Like, you know, I don't give a fuck." Like,
this shit is crazy, man. Bend the knee, nigga. That's
that's what she's like. Bend the knee, nigga.
Bend the knee. She was saying that shit. Daenerys been saying that shit on point. She's like, you know, I didn't come here to kill you. Bend the knee, and we good. Like, God damn.
She said, or die. She's like, give you a choice. She's like, I'm not making you do nothing. I'm giving you a choice.
And then if you were trying not to have a choice, you got burnt the fuck up. Man, that's, you know, goddamn, man.
Smoke that motherfucker to ashes, boy. Like,
that's it.
Hey, all of them hit the knee after that. Boy, they was all looking like Colin Kaepernick out there. Fuck that.
What's left of their knee? Shit, the knee was embers. Shit is over. And then Power. You didn't watch Power yet.
I did watch Power.
You did watch Power. What do you feel about Power at this point?
I mean, it's all right. You saw what I put on it. I said Power done got whacked, man. I mean, I still watch it, but I just know it's not a top tier show. You know what I'm saying? Like, it used to almost had me feeling like it was a top tier show, but this season here, like after episode 3, like it's just nah, man. They just doing too much, doing too fast, and hurrying storylines. Like the whole Sandoval. Like this episode, they still trying to find out who the mole was, so they figured out it was Sandoval. Sandoval gets arrested and killed in the same episode. I was like, God damn! Bruh. Like, I mean, he was, when Angela was talking to him, he was like, well, I know a secret about you, and then Angela cut the mic off. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, Angela dirty bitch too. Like, yo, she went told that lawyer, like, yo, you know Sandoval's in FCC. About, she knew what was gonna happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
she said that because she was like, yo, if that secret get out, we all in trouble. Because, you know, Sandoval knew that Jamie is ghost. And he knew everything because, you know what I'm saying, he was, you know, but, you know, like, I was not pleased at the way, like, I was just like, come on, man. Y'all not going to let nothing. Like, where's 50, where's Kanan? Where's Kanan?
He's been gone 2 episodes now.
Where's Kanan? Like, I mean.
Like, not only where's Kanan, but why the fuck is Tariq still hanging out with Brains and shit? Kanan's gone. Why are you still rolling with these niggas?
Slim was your way in. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. Like, but now these your homies?
Bruh. Like, I mean, maybe he needs some more money or something. He ran out of money. He bought too much lean. You know, lean is expensive.
I guess, because you know, that nigga is drinking that shit every. He's drinking it all day, every day. He should be dead.
Tariq that's what I'm saying. Dead. Like, why this nigga heart ain't stopped yet? Like, this nigga drinking more lean than Pimp C. And it's. I just don't get it. Like, he's got to have some kind of fucking dependency on this shit by now. Like, yo, like, is that going to be the storyline in episode 9? Like, Tariq's addiction, he going to go to rehab and everything in one episode. Watch.
He going to have to. He got shook when they killed old girl.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you should have known they was going to rape her, dude. Like, come on. These dudes are not, like, man, come on, man.
And then he said the boy's name.
I was just like, oh, shit.
Said the name, so we knew what that was going to go. She was like, wait. No. Bow.
Bow.
And then he's going to try and run off. He was running clean as fucking them stiff-ass shoes, though.
Bruh.
ran through the city. Ain't no way. If that's the neighborhood, there's no way a black boy ran through the neighborhood and didn't get stopped.
No. Not even.
There's no
not
fucking way.
I live in a neighborhood like this. Maybe because the way he looked, they was like, oh, that's a normal black kid running through here. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga, you can't be black and run in this country.
Yeah, you're right.
If you're not on the field or on the track, you're running from some shit.
Yeah.
You know how I know? Because we used to do that shit in St. Louis. Mm. A cop car would come by, we would just take off running.
For no reason. You ain't even know. You just run.
No reason. We like, you're not even putting two and two together at that point. Mm-mm. But you're like, hey, this is something fun to do. We can make the cops chase us. You just start running. You can't do that shit, man. Something else happened on this episode that I wanted to point
out. Asha, Hohen.
Okay, so I've been hearing this narrative lately a lot that Tasha is Hohen. Tasha is in a marriage by force. She's not in that marriage. That marriage is over.
Okay. But I mean, is Ghost trying to work it out?
Ghost damn near died. Yes, he's trying to work it out. Like, what are you? The bitch you was fucking damn near got you killed. Yes, you're trying to work it out. Yes, absolutely, he's trying to work it out. What the fuck else is he gonna do when you get damn near? Look, he damn near got death in the system, nigga. That's not even that street shit. Death in the system, and your girl had your back, and the chick you was leaving her for was trying to prosecute. Yes, you trying to work that shit out. Of course. Mm. But when he was fucking Angela at first, he hit her with the Harlem Knights. Hey, put your mom on the phone. Hey, babe, it's me. I'm never coming home again. Have a good life. He hit her with that shit. That was basically it. Ghost was like, I'm out. So, yeah, of course he's trying to work it out. Tasha.
Was she fucking Charm before he was fucking Angela? Oh, no. That was about the same time.
It was after he found, after she found out about Angela.
Yeah.
Because she was finding out that he was doing something, and that's when she started questioning Sean.
Yeah.
And Sean, when Sean let her know it was on and popping, she was like, okay, you know the goods, you getting this pussy.
Mm-mm.
So then now, after Ghost damn near got the whole family fucked up with his side bitch, now she's fucking the lawyer. That's a little close to home. It's a little close
especially
to home.
Ghost just showing up to the lawyer house. Like, how did Ghost get in? Like, I'm just like...
They got real lazy, man. The writing's getting real flimsy, bro.
Like, how did he get in? Like, yo, like, somebody let him in? Or he let himself in? Like,
well, he said the doorman let me in, but that let you in downstairs. That doesn't let you in upstairs.
Like,
I don't understand. And even then, the lawyer, when he came up to, when Silver came to their house, from my understanding, the elevator opens right up into their door, right?
Oh, yeah. Opens up into their, yeah, okay.
So if you do, but still, you have to have a key or some sort of access. You can't magically show up at their shit.
Yeah. Like, you so gotta have some, yeah, you gotta have like a little code or something. Like, I gotta know you're coming. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, we could be anywhere in the house, butt ass naked in here. You just pop up, bing. Like, whoa, what's going on here?
Just walk up in there, and then, you know, I guess once he found out that Ghost didn't do it, he felt like Ghost was a regular clean nigga, so he could almost kiss his wife in his house. I don't know what the fuck Silver was thinking, but he damn near kissed Tasha in their house.
Yeah, and I just knew they was going to get caught right then.
Oh, my God. I was waiting.
You got all this money, you got no cameras in your house, my nigga? Like,
well, you know, that's this episode. Next episode, there'll magically be a camera somewhere.
Yeah. So, Tasha, when did you tell me you was messing with Silver? What you mean? I set up a camera. I saw it.
I'm trying to do all this for you, Tasha.
Proctor, man. Slimy Proctor.
Okay, but is it slimy?
I mean, he just got an insurance, like you said, because he like, yo, these niggas will kill me. You know what I'm saying?
They threaten his life all the time. The nigga Tommy threatened his life all the time. Ghost threatened him like two or three times. Like, nigga, what else am I supposed to do? Yeah. I gotta have an out. Yeah. I gotta have an out. I'm not even mad at that nigga. But they gonna kill Proctor ass.
They got to, because he still got that laptop.
Yeah, I saw the laptop and I was like, God damn it, Proctor. But I knew he had it. And just once you saw it, you was like, fuck.
Yeah, like, why are you putting it in the safe deposit box? Like, what?
Who else did we see moving some shit to a safe and they got caught?
Why not just put shit on the jump drive and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, destroy the computer. You got this man computer. He's disappeared. You have the computer, like, in your possession. Like, no. Like, you're in trouble. Like,
this shit is ridiculous. It was Better Call Saul is what I was thinking of when the lawyer was going to the bank with all that money and got his ass followed to the bank and got caught.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same little bullshit. Why would you put that shit? Why would you go to the bank for a laptop? Like, nigga, you got to be more hood than that. But I guess that's the point. These niggas ain't hood. It's street and it's book knowledge. And these book knowledge niggas is getting offed.
I mean, then, like, Tommy calls a dude up, Teresi, or whatever the fuck his name is, Teresi.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, I need a favor. Okay. That's it? Yeah, man, you're family. And then I'm just like, what? It had to have be a string attached to it somehow, some way. Like, it just, like I said, I'm not pleased at how fast it's going, and I don't know, it just feel rushed to me. So, yeah, you know, I'm not saying I'm not gonna watch it anymore because I still am. It's a great show.
They're missing shit that should be missed.
Yeah, man.
There's no loyalty on the show anywhere. And I don't understand why there's... I guess there's no loyalty amongst thieves, like, the way that goes. But I don't get why there's nobody has any loyalty. Like, nobody, nigga? Tommy, your mom told you that your dad was dead your entire life. This nigga pops up, shows that he's your dad, and you damn near disowned your mom and got him killing people for you? You felt cool enough with three or four niggas' lives that you called in a favor to the nigga that was just ransoming and holding your boy ransom in jail. That's what you're doing? Tasha and Tariq, Ghost has been your life, and now y'all don't want to fuck with him at all?
Nah. Little daughter said, yo, I'm out of here. I'm going to go to school in Connecticut.
She said, fuck it too. She said, fuck it, I'm out. Silver, you came to this case late. You've been talking shit about Ghost, and now you like, fuck Ghost, I'm fucking your wife. Nobody's loyal to shit on the show. I guess the only people that's loyal is what's his name? James Dolan? Is that his name?
Which one is that?
The black cop.
Oh, yeah.
The black cop, he's loyal to the fucking job and what he's doing. And Tommy's mom. Because she's loyal to Tommy. She's been loyal to Tommy the whole time. That's it. Dre is trying to make a power play. Now, he want to be Scarface. He's going to die so violently.
I mean, he is like, I saw him etching his own tombstone in his last episode. I was just like, it was fucking done. Like, Tommy is a hothead. You're dead. Like, you're dead. Like, you're trying to get Tommy up out of there. These are you going to kill somebody or something?
Yeah, I forget what he's trying to do. But essentially, this nigga is trying to get the drugs into the clubs, get Tommy to fuck up out the box, and get rid of the whole... look, Dre is fucking up. Even for the most ambitious nigga, he's trying to outsmart four different drug lords. I don't see that shit happening, dog.
Yeah. Drug lords. Not no corner boys.
Nah, you go with the heads of state in this bitch. And then that's what the dude told him. The little, I guess it's the Lobos or whatever the fuck. I forget their name. The brother and sister team. He said, "Look, if you pull this play, it's good. But if you fuck up, I'll kill you myself." Damn. Like, that's it, Dre. You on the clock now.
Yes, sir.
And you got to try and leverage. So now you're trying to leverage Ghost Clubs with the club manager that he's working with the white dude, to get into all these clubs with some drugs, with connections that you don't have right now. I don't know. This nigga gonna die so bad. Like, they might do him like they, Tommy and Ghost might shoot him together. Like they did old boy. Dre's dead as fuck. But the writing is definitely weak. The writing is definitely taking a break. So we'll see what happens next week with all this shit. Ballers, did you watch Ballers?
Nah, didn't get a chance.
Nigga, the only thing that I can say for that whole episode is that as they're setting up to have the meeting with the casino owner, they're stuck in traffic in a Bentley truck. They're stuck in traffic. They only got to go a quarter of a mile, and it says that it'll be an hour because they're stuck in traffic. So Rock gives this little fucking pep talk. They get out and leave the truck in traffic to go have this meeting. Nigga, what?
Sounds legit.
Yeah, you left a Bentley truck SUV in traffic so you can go ahead. You just hopped out and left that bitch, huh? Y'all got that kind of paper. Never mind the fact that you needed a loan to do your job. You left a Bentley truck in traffic so you can go to this meeting to a nigga that almost left you there. I don't know, man. This shit is... That was really the only thing for that whole episode.
Got a new show for you to watch, Saul, right?
Oh, shit.
Ozark.
I wanted to watch... When I first saw the preview, because I think Jason Bateman is funny as fuck, I wanted to watch that shit when I first saw it.
Bruh, it's fucking good.
Is it? I figured that, man. That nigga's great.
It's Breaking Bad-ish. You know what I'm saying?
It's like insurance. It's an insurance scheme or something, right?
Well, he's somebody that deal with money, investor, whatever you call it. He runs like a money marketing thing. And he's been washing money for a cartel. And they get in over their heads. And people's heads start getting killed. And niggas start disappearing. And moving. And, you know, he lies. He saves his ass. And say he could go to this town and make so much money. And dude's like, look, nigga, got 3 fucking months to get my motherfucking money back. Well, everybody did, nigga. And damn. So, yeah. So, that's the, you know, it's a lot of drugs, a lot of killing. You know, it's a good show, man. So, check it out. Ozark, Netflix. I'm on, like, episode 4 or 5, maybe. So, yeah.
All right. You got to keep 100 for the people this week, brother?
Man, I keep 100, man. Summer's over with. It's coming to an end. I really don't have a keep 100, but I'm a freestyle one. people, listen, let's go back to using condoms. I know everybody liked the raw sex and everything, and the great feeling of it, but let's go back to using condoms, man. Like, let's try, you know what I'm saying? The condom companies are there for a reason. We don't need any more kids, any more STDs, any more herpes cases, because let's go back to wearing condoms, people. That's my keeping 100, man. Be safe out here. Strap up. Protect yourself. Protect your partner. It's the best I can do, coming with no outline.
Hey, it's not a bad job, bro. I mean, I was thinking about this shit for whatever reason. It might have been because of the topic we had tweeting back and forth. I'm married. I've been married for 13 years. I use condoms. I use condoms, and often when I'm acting right, I pull out, goddammit. I don't want no kids. I don't want no kids.
It's all right. You mean tell me your pull-out game is immaculate, bro? Shout out.
I said I use condoms and I pull out.
Oh.
So there's shit that you do when you don't want to have kids. Everything else is risking it.
Man, look. King Germ got in trouble this week, people. I'm going to tell you what King Germ did. Speaking of no condoms and no pullout.
I'm really scared where this is going.
You know, every month the shop is closed for cleaning, right? You know what I'm saying? And during that time the shop was closed for cleaning, you know what I'm saying? I guess I was a little randy, so I goddamn took matters in my own hands, if you get what I'm saying. So when the shop got back open, you know what I'm saying, I went, shot the club up, and they was like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, that, it's been 6-7 days. It's supposed to be more than that.
Oh.
And I was like, well, I mean, it is what it is. And then, oh, my God.
That's okay, but that's a lot of policing.
Bruh, I don't know who's measuring the millimeters that come out of there. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? But somebody obviously is. Somebody noticed, and it was brought to my front door, so I had to come clean and be like, yo, a nigga got down, found my sweet spot the other day. Now, but I'm telling you all this. If you know your partner is closed for cleaning X amount of days, don't take matters in your own hands a day before the shop open back up, because you're going to get in trouble. Like I, you know what I'm saying? And I had to answer questions. And I mean, it was just like, I broke down. I was like, listen, man, I was jacking off, man. She was like, what? You know, what are you doing that for? And I was just like, I mean, I'm a man. Sometimes you don't plan on it. It just happens. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
So in your relationship, that's not allowed? Like, that's frowned upon?
It's frowned upon because I have a willing participant. Like, why waste a nut like in a piece of tissue? You know what I'm saying? Or in a sock? Or in a dirty washcloth? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Hey, so, that's respect for not having a real nigga problem.
And it's just like, but the problem I have is I've been cursed with the longest closing that you can have. Like, it's full 7 days. Like, 7 days. Like, that's a long time. You know what I'm saying? You know,
ain't no three in the drip. It's 7 full, huh?
7 full. And then you got the 1 day where you just like, you know, nah.
Can't be bothered with.
Yeah, you got to give them that 1 day where like, nah, let's make sure everything, I'm not going down there. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's you know, we'll have to bring that back on another show, because that's an interesting problem, because the story is that once you get married, it's over. The shit dries up.
That is so far from the truth.
Hey.
I can't keep up, put it that way. Sometimes I be turning the shit down, like, yo, I'm not, I be lying, like, yo, I don't feel like it. Like, oh, man, my stomach hurt, or I just took a shit. I say something, you know what I'm saying? Like, just the, nah, man, like, motherfucker gonna tell me, yo, listen, there's no reason why we shouldn't have sex every day. I say every day?
Like, she was like, she got that pay money.
Yeah.
I'm that. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, as niggas out here, we envy you, bro. Let me just say that. Let's just say that. We envy you.
It made me feel like I can't not give in, because then I feel like I don't want to get nowhere else. Because she'd be like, well, you remember that day? You didn't want to. Well, I went found, you know, nah, man, that's not going to happen, man. So, yeah.
This is interesting. Breaking news for the show. Issa Rae promises to make condom use more apparent on Insecure.
Oh, man, don't ever give in to the people.
It's a responsibility thing. I like that. Props to you.
Why is it her responsibility? They don't show responsibility in any other shows. Like, I don't never see condoms on the stories when they be having sex and having sex. I don't see that.
It's a responsible choice.
I don't see it on Shameless. I don't see nobody using condoms nowhere on TV. Why her? Why she got to take the stand?
She don't have to. She chose to. It's a responsible decision.
Why she choosing it? I mean, but it's not her responsibility is what I feel. Like, you know what I'm saying? But props to her for doing that, but I don't think it was her responsibility.
She's not. So what you're saying, she's not required to do it. It's her responsibility because it's her show, and she decided to show safe sex, which in a black-centered universe is important, because of disease and kids in our community. It's an active choice that she made. I can't be mad at her for that.
So I don't see no. I mean, I didn't see I didn't see Tommy and Lala break out a condom. I mean, he just went straight in. I didn't see Ghost and Angela using condoms. I didn't see Tasha and the lawyer. He's like, why with this black show? Why did you? You know what I'm saying? Like, of all the other black shows we got, I don't never see condom use. So, you know, but like I said, props to her for taking on that. But it wasn't your, you know, you ain't have to do that. You ain't have to appease these niggas.
Well, I think also we're talking about two different universes, two different worlds where the shit is different. Power, everybody on Power is grimy. Like, there's not, other than the black lawyer, there's no one on that show, not the black lawyer, the black cop. There's no one on that show that I like. No one on that show has any redeeming fucking values. They're all pieces of shit. So I don't expect there to be condom usage or anything. I think everybody's sharing the same everything. Ain't nobody washing up after sex. Hey, Tommy Dick still smell like Holly, nigga. Niggas is disgusting.
Hey, like nobody washes after sex on these TV shows. They have sex.
Oh, no, they just put on drawers.
And they walk on about business. Queen Germ in the building, everybody.
What's up, people?
What's going on, Queen Germ? And millions.
Yeah, we had to record on Monday this week because, you know.
He's switching it up.
It's all right going out of town. So if we were going to do a show this week, we had to do it today.
Oh, well. Have a nice and safe travels.
We're just talking about you.
Oh, interesting.
All good. All good.
All good stuff. Ask her real quick, because I'm going to have to, I got to dip in a second. Ask her real quick, what does she think about the condom usage on Insecure?
Insecure, like, in all the sex scenes, like, people noticed that they never use condoms. And so it was brought up on Twitter. They was talking about, like, do they not use condoms? And they made it seem like she had her duty. Yeah. To show that they're having safe sex on these TV shows. When I said, I never see condoms on TV shows. Like, we see a lot of sex scenes, but nobody uses condoms. So I'm thinking it's implied that they're using a condom, but people, you know, like, they need to see, like, a nigga, a rubber, even an open plastic rubber in the trash can on the dresser. They need to see a condom so they know this is safe sex. But I was like, we never see that on TV shows, so it's not up to her. But you know, it's all right saying, well, being a black show and the issues that we have in our community, she should do it, or, you know, she should feel like show that they are having safe sex. But I was like,
I mean, I guess with a lot of things that have to deal with black issues or whatever, I just feel like we have too much of a burden to carry, too much of a cross to bear, because it's like people always want you to be perfect. I mean, and to some extent, you can kind of play to the crowd, but if they think they can ease it in there some type of way and it's not too much of a hassle, then fine. But I don't feel like that's their responsibility to have to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it's her responsibility. I appreciate her taking the onus on to do it. But I feel like it's the same thing when we talk about, as far as music goes, we talk about black artists always doing this trap music and shit. You always talking about gangster rap and all this shit. That's what the executives want. Well, when you control the content, if you still do the same shit, that argument is null and void.
Yeah, true.
So it's one of those situations. You're on TV now. You're the one that's doing this show. It's black produced. You have the choice now to show a better side of us. And I think that this show is different than Power, because this show is everybody. This is regular ass people. So you kind of feel some kind of way that, well, shit, maybe you saying, I don't use condoms. I don't be fucking like that. Hold on, Issa. We ain't hoeing out in these streets. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those weird things. I agree with y'all. I don't think she had to do it, but I appreciate her doing it. I think that's dope shit. And responding to the criticism, because they give it to us all the time. So yeah. That's good shit. One other breaking news story, Jerm, before we get the fuck up out of here.
Prince died?
No, Prince didn't die again, but but Ric Flair is...
That was a shout out to Deezus and Mary. Remember they used to do it on the podcast, like, breaking news. Prince died.
I'm really proud of them niggas, man, for real. I'm really proud of them niggas. Ric Flair is in ICU. He's in a medically induced coma.
Woo! Say you're lying.
I'm not. No, Ric Flair's been dead to me for a while.
Oh, yeah, but he ain't dead to me. Like,
I'm saying, you're going to be emotional in a second.
Ric Flair?
Yeah, he got rushed to the hospital, I think it was last night. or early this morning, and now he's in a medically induced coma.
Oh my God, Ric Flair gonna be dead by the next broadcast, man. God damn.
God. Hey, all I got to say about that is, nigga, do you like working here? How about that shit, Rick?
I mean, that's the real shit.
Nigga, do you like working here? Hey, nigga, how about you? Do you like working here, motherfucker? Hey,
let me tell you the background of that story. So Teddy Long, he was a black guy that was a referee manager in WCW, NWA. And he said somebody called him a nigga. You know what I'm saying? And so he was about to make a big fuss about it. So then Ric Flair came to him and said, nigga, do you like working here? Like,
wait, that's not even the story that happened. The story that happened was, it was some girls that got backstage to fuck with the Four Horsemen, and they said Teddy let them backstage.
Okay.
So Ric Flair got mad and came up to him and said, hey, nigga, do you like working here? Nigga came out the cover and said that shit. Nigga, you like working here? Don't do that shit no more. Like, he pulled a straight boss move on that cat, man. Fuck Ric Flair, man.
Yo, like, nigga.
Fuck Ric Flair, man. Give our shout-outs to the people, man. We ain't got no winners and losers because the whole country's losers this week.
Yeah. Well, shout-outs, man. Shout-out to the staff, man. What's left from Short T, GQ Blue. Shout-out to Ruler Myself, Dr. Abrasive, and everybody over there at the Dr. Abrasive Network. Shout-out. Is he Ruler Myself? Like, yeah. You must have pulled him out of the rabbit hole because he commented on all the shit.
Hey, you know, nigga got free. Got work release program.
Papa Dash, Daughter Dash, Queen Germ. Oh, yeah, Queen Germ birthday is next Monday, so you can all PayPal me some money, and I'll make sure she gets it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell her to set up that Cash App on Friday. Hey, man, it's all right. That Cash App thing, you know that's real?
Yeah, I just had somebody try and buy some shoes for me on the Cash App, and I'm not fucking with that.
Bruh, like on Fridays on Twitter, people just be like giving away money. They're like, yo, put your Cash App. I'm seeing, like, people really be sending money in the, hey, bruh.
You let me know if that works for you.
I'm going, hey, watch me. It's all right. Watch.
Says the guy with multiple racks lining the bedroom.
I lost it in the Snapchat IPO.
Nigga is sleeping on a bed of money like Scrooge McDuck. But go ahead, man.
Yeah, man. And shout out to any other loyal listeners, man. Shout out to H2O, man. Reached out to a little homie the other day. You know, spoke to him. Shout out to anybody else that fucked with Nappy Afro the long way, the short way, anyway. Shout out.
Hey, man, this is an episode that ended up being longer than we expected. So, y'all pause. Welcome, motherfuckers. Pause. Shit. Call it what it is. It's
longer than you expected, man.
Hey, no pause, man. We just talked about safe sex on this episode. No pause, nigga. Enjoy that. Enjoy that. We finished, nigga. It's your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. the Black Alice P. Keaton. Sitting there with King Germ, the most electrifying motherfucking podcast of today, yesterday, and forever. And Queen Germ, the Queen of Standards. We will holler at y'all next time on another episode of the Frocast. We up out this bitch. And buy a shirt, motherfucker.
Yes, we got new shirts. Buy one. I got one question for you, Saul Wright.
I am doing it.
Do you like here, nigga?
Fuck you and fuck Ric Flair. Woo! Peace.
Peace.
I'm still mad at that nigga Ric Flair, bro. Oh
my goodness. NappyAfro.com.